Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here.
And Mike Cosentino here.
And we have with us one of our researchers, writer, producers, Gary LeMaster.
That's right.
Who's sleepy this morning after watching the Perseid meteor shower last night.
Oh, I forgot to go.
It's on again tonight, so you can stay up late like me.
I will do that.
We talked about health care last week. Health care is one of the most complex subjects out there. It's one that's surrounded by anxiety. There's nothing that gets people more worried than their health and survival.
And within that, it's an important question. And we want to talk about lots of things. We want to talk about how we got here, but we want to talk about individual cost. We're going to get to that. That my gang down at the coffee shop. You know, sort of
last, what affordable health care is going to
be. What's it going to cost me?
Let's focus on affordable health care today.
Yeah.
Not try to take on the whole thing, because American health care is very inefficient. It's the most expensive in the world. There are lots of problems that affordable health care is not going to solve, even though it's going to make a lot of things better. But there's almost a web of fear out there about affordable health care. So we need to talk about...
By misinformation.
Yeah, misinformation.
Yeah.
We need to talk about what's happened so far and what's going to happen in the future. Gary wanted to talk a little bit how did we get into this situation?
Yeah, no matter what, this group is going to talk policy. We know that. No, yeah, we can get as specific as we want. How did we get here, Gary?
Well, it actually, from what I can tell, started with FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, in the 30s, who wanted to, he came up with a second Bill of Rights. And in that second Bill of Rights was health care for all Americans. And this is pretty much before the rest of the world adopted universal care. So he proposed it came close to being passed, and it kind of fell by the wayside until the 92 election when Clinton ran against George H.W. Bush, and it became a big part of that campaign. And following Clinton's election, he assigned Hillary to put together a proposal for universal health care. It was, vilified by the right, and then so it fell by the wayside once again, and then it became a big part of Clinton's second campaign in 96, and at that point, Bob Dole proposed a healthcare system that was an idea of the Heritage Foundation, which we mentioned last week.
A conservative think tank or propaganda organization.
And
take your pick.
And the idea was essentially keep it in the private sector, but it's what is now basically Obamacare. It's what became Romney Care in Massachusetts, and now Obamacare. So
they applied this Republican idea to Obamacare.
So Obama decided that, well, if they won't buy our idea of universal care, let's take the Republican idea and make a few minor changes to it and propose that, and surely that will sail through.
And I think in the early days, the Obama administration, they really thought they'd get Republican support from moderate Republican. There are no moderate Republicans.
They thought they would get Republican support.
But it didn't matter, did it? It didn't matter that it was originally structurally, it's really a Republican plan. The Democratic idea, really, folks, is single payer.
or its equivalents. In other words, expand Medicaid to everybody. It doesn't exclude insurance companies. You can always buy additional insurance companies. Just like if you're on Medicare now, you can buy all the Medicare Plus plans.
You can do that in England now. You can, in other countries, they have universal care. There's government care. And if you're impatient, don't want to wait for the doctor's appointment, you can have your own insurance and have your own surgery. My neighbors from England just did that.
The thing is, folks, that what's worrying me now, I think, really on healthcare, but a lot of other issues, is that people in the United States, particularly a certain political party, have decided they have absolutely nothing to learn from anybody else in the world. They don't want to look at healthcare systems that might work better than ours. They don't want to look at these different models. They just believe that in what they call American exceptionalism, which is in one sense, I agree with, but in another sense, it just seems to add up to everything we do is better than what everybody else does. And in healthcare, not so much, right?
Okay, America hater. You're right. It does. Sometimes it doesn't add up, but we want to.
But so we're going to focus on affordable healthcare, right?
That's right. That's right.
And I'd like to point out one quick thing is that.
Strictly forbidden, Gary.
The idea of Obamacare got started in Congress, it wasn't like it was completely opposed by Republicans at first. Republicans spent months and months and months on committees, putting in their own amendments to the bill.
That's the irony, isn't it?
And they were, there was a gang of, they always have a gang, but I think it was a gang of 10 that was equal in Democrats and Republicans. So the bill was greatly shaped by Republicans, and then they all voted against it.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I think that people have forgotten that part of history, Gary, how deeply the Republicans were involved in it. They weren't cut off from discussing it. And some of the iffier provisions were put in there to get Republican support that never materialized, not one of them.
There's the famous Ben Nelson Nebraska amendment that he held out to the very end.
That's right.
To get an extra benefit for Nebraska, and they put it in, and then he voted against it.
Yeah. The thing is, folks, that what was the analogy? Sausage. If you look at the sausage making, it doesn't look so good. The way the bill was put together month after month, all these negotiations to try to make it more acceptable to Republicans and so forth and so on, kind of came to naught, right?
If you listen to them, you get the idea it was crammed through in the middle of the night, in the dark of the night, and Republicans never had a chance to voice their disapproval of it, and nothing could be further from the truth.
But one of the questions we want to answer this morning is what's going to happen. The important question is about health care policy, but the other important question is what's it going to cost me? Like I said, my men and women down at the coffee shop say, Yeah, blah, blah, blah. What's it going to cost? And I want to say up front, if you want to know what it's going to cost you, go to the Kaiser Family Foundation website.
Great website.
Exactly. kff.org/interactive/subsidy calculator. KFF.org has a subsidy calculator in dollars, and we throw around this 138% of poverty level, 200% of poverty level. I don't know about you guys, but I don't carry those figures around in my head.
I carry them all.
I'm sure that's true. But this one does it. Now it has a choice, and on the menu you can do percent of poverty level, or you can do real dollars and how many people in your family.
It's 138% of the poverty level, which is about 15 grand now for a single individual, right?
Right.
What if I make 15.9?
Well, that's it. And this calculator. It does it, and it does it really, really fast. And it's depending on people in your family. For instance, if you one adult age 50 making $30,000 a year, bottom line is you will pay $2,500 a year for insurance. Your subsidy will be $2,800. Now, don't forget, just like in all insurance plans, there's a a ton of different plans. There's a bronze plan, silver plan, and gold plan.
That's right. Let's talk about that a minute. There are different plans that you can go on to the marketplaces, but we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. But there are different plans. There's a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. Depending on the level of coverage that you want to buy, and they'll be in these exchanges where you'll be able to bid. In other words, what the government really has done, and everybody hates government regulation, is make what the plans say transparent. If you've ever looked at your insurance plan now, you know that it's anything but transparent.
And what I'm trying to get at is that that's all very interesting for us to talk about on a, you know, policy show on healthcare. But if you want to know what's going to cost you, then going back to the website, two adults, age 30, $30,000 income, we just talked about $2,500 and a $4,000 subsidy. The other one I did was two adults, two kids, the old proverbial family of four, right? I guess they still exist. Two adults, two kids, $35,000 with their income. I kept these incomes low because I read the Yavapai County thing, and the average income in the Verde Valley, I believe, is $27,000. But two kids, two adults, $35,000, you're going to pay $3,300 a year, and you can divide that by 12, and that would be your monthly health care cost. But you're going to get a $7,300 subsidy to pay your total cost of health care for those four people. And that's how it works. Plug in the income, plug in your family characteristics, and come out with what it's going to cost you and the subsidy that you're going to get through the tax credit.
I think returning to where we started is people really don't understand the Affordable Care Act. And Mike's mentioned Kaiser. Kaiser's a huge insurance in
California.
California.
And it's a nonpartisan.
It's nonpartisan. Right, yeah. I mean, they're in the insurance business. They're not in the politics business. There's a poll conducted by Kaiser. It said only 45% of the people knew that the Affordable Care Act did not create panels that would make decisions about the end of the life for Medicare patients. 45%. Only 45% knew that. Only 25% knew that the bill did not require firms with less than 50 employees to provide insurance for the workers. And only 42% knew that the bill does not provide insurance for undocumented workers. In other words, as we were mentioning earlier, there's tremendous confusion. Some of it deliberately created, right?
A lot of it deliberately. There's foundations or PACs and super PACs that are out there with ad campaigns trying to scare people about Obamacare.
So let's talk a little bit about what Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act has done to date. In other words, year by year, different provisions are coming in. And we'll spend the latter part of the program on what's going to be happening in 2014. Because that's the big year when many of the provisions of the most important provisions come to pass.
Well, if you can start with one of the things it's done so far is eliminate lifetime limits on your health insurance coverage. You know, up to this point, if it was going to cost the insurance company more to pay for your operation or procedure than what they had gotten in premiums, it was okay for them to hand you the premiums and say, you're on your own, buddy.
So it sounds like a huge limit on some of these insurance policies of $1 million. And for most people, lifetime limit. Mm-hmm. And for most people, that's true. But if you get leukemia, God forbid, or some other really serious illness, you're going to go through $1 million in our medical care system pretty darn quickly. So that eliminated that cap. So they have to keep paying for your doctors.
That's so far has affected 105 million Americans to date.
105 million Americans, the cap on lifetime.
That benefit now that they no longer have to deal with the cap. 3.1 million young adults, adults under 26, have been able to stay
under
on their
27.
Okay, they've been able to stay on their parents' health insurance plan.
Yeah, and different plans put your kids off of your plan at different points. And some of it, when the kid graduated from college, 21, he's off the plan. Some people went, some plans went up to 23, some went to 24. But the point is, your kids can now stay, if you've got decent insurance, they can't kick your kids off. And this is particularly important when you have high unemployment, right, Mike, among young people.
Absolutely. I want to hear more specifics, but one of the bottom lines, the other is that is higher quality care and broader coverage is what you're getting, and that's more expensive. That's just that, it's kind of that simple.
That's when you hear this is going to cost more. What you're hearing
it's
is
making the insurance companies cover stuff that they didn't cover before.
Yes, is it they can't put a cap. That'll save them. That would save them money. And they can't cut the care. They can't do all these corner cutting stuff.
And they can't quickly ramp up the premiums.
That's right. You know, one of the things is I noticed there was an article back in the Washington Post, which is Affordable Care Act, Obamacare is going to cause employer instability. But it's actually not, because, you know, right now an employer has health care on, say, 150 workers. The insurance company just can ramp up there's no limitation to how much they can ramp up the prices. There's no visible limitation to how much profit they're making versus how much coverage they're delivering. And that's changing, right, Gary?
When I had my own business with 35 employees, in the roughly 7 years I had the business before I sold it, my insurance cost for employees and their families never went up less than 33% a year.
Well, let's talk about that a minute, because everybody's saying that health care, with Obamacare, without Obamacare, we're being told here in August of 2013 that 2014 health care is going to go up 9%. They came up with the 9% because they know it's going to go up between 7 and 11%. So they chose the number. And that's independent of Obamacare. Health care and premiums are going to go up 9%.
So everybody understands that, folks, that health care costs are going up higher than inflation.
So
they're one of the gravest problems U.S. faces long term is health care continuing to rise much quicker than productivity does.
Let's finish up with what it's done so far. One of the things that you've probably heard about is the $700 billion over the next 10 years cuts to Medicare. That's been talked about as this horrible thing. It's really not cuts as much as savings. And one of the big things that they've done is ramp up the regulation or oversight of Medicare fraud. There's a huge amount of Medicare fraud. So in 2011, under Obamacare, they recovered $4.1 billion in Medicare fraud. And $10.7 billion in over the past 3 years.
So it reduces fraud, but there's something else that it does. The one of the savings, and we can talk about how the whole thing is funded, is to cut unnecessary subsidies to Medicare Advantage. That was what the election about. They're cutting Medicare. No, they're not. They're cutting subsidies to a Medicare Advantage program that were put in there basically at the request of the insurance industry. So, you know, and when you get to Medicare, you can have Medicare and you can have Medicare Advantage programs. And all it's doing is cutting, it's cutting $132 billion from Medicare Advantage overcharges. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's over, I think, a 10-year period.
And by the way, those savings that the Republicans have denounced so loudly have been figured into every plan that they've offered. They were figured into the Ryan budget plan.
Right. So it's just partisan nonsense, a lot of the opposition. So what's happened so far? You can't limit people's lifetime coverage, which only affects some individuals, but if it does affect you, it is a very, very big deal.
You've probably heard about the prescription donut hole. So far it's closing that donut hole, or the amount you pay for, people on Medicare pay for prescriptions. And it will save an average of more than $16,000. And it's affected so far 6.3 million people. And has saved $6.1 billion. The people have saved $6.1 billion.
It subsidizes, if I remember correctly, it subsidizes prescription medicine in the donut hole. So if you get things from Medicare and they explain all the stuff, this is Obamacare that's closing the donut hole. It's not doing it the next day. It's doing it slowly over. But the donut hole, which hurts so many people, is being closed by Affordable Care Act.
Right. One of the big focuses of the Affordable Care Act is prevention. It's working with people to help them quit smoking or to exercise more, watch what they eat, et cetera, et cetera, and to have regular checkups. So if you're on Medicare, you're allowed one annual, checkup free each year that's completely free.
Right.
And so that is, affected 54 million Americans so far.
A lot of preventive measures and wellness measures will be covered totally free under Obamacare with no copay.
Right.
Right. There are 15 preventive services covered for adults. This is just being smart, folks.
Yeah,
if you can stop an illness before it starts, 22 are covered for women, and I think for kids it's like 25 if you're on Medicaid.
A country that's got 2.7 trillion, that's 2.7 trillion on health care. These are important things. Don't forget my mantra of $1 billion is $2.7 million every day, 365 days, is $1 billion. I'll have to do what $1 trillion is. And if I'm wrong, guys, numbers aren't my thing. We're going to let the station know. Call Tom. He'll be happy to let me know I was wrong.
Things like checking your cholesterol, checking for diabetes, talking to you about your diet, immunizations, are all now covered.
It's
a big improvement, folks, in just terms of going to the doctor.
It's cheaper to deal with medical issues early than it is late.
Oh, you hear the ad campaign that's going on? It's a government ad campaign, and it's on the radio. Talking about, go to Joe and Joe so-and-so's restaurant and you can get his great food and you can get his great service, but you can't meet him because he died of the same disease his father died from at 47 years old. And the tagline, the bottom line is that he didn't get an inexpensive test or a test that would have found this horrible disease. Now, they're doing this about 6 or 7 different ways.
Yes. Well, so what they're trying to do is get people to go in and have checkups, because checkups catch the disease before it gets serious. And they do that by allowing you to have free checkups, free tests.
I think the ad is silly. Listen to it. If you haven't caught it yet, I heard it like 3 times in a row. It was one of those deals where they did the ad, and then they paid for the time, and they did the same ad again. For those of you who, this is creating great anxiety, and it seems like Steve said at the top of the show.
Healthcare really is anxious. Our health is one of the issues that we're really surrounded by anxiety, which means it's easy to play on that anxiety.
You can check in 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, with it's called Welcome to Health Reform Watch. Sarah Cliff is a writer for the Washington Post, and she's on this like white on rice here. 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, she is keeping up with every nuance in the Affordable Care Act and whatever interpretation is going on.
Let's go back, Gary.
Yeah, we're trying to get to his list.
Let's go back to this list, folks. And there's a list. So the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, comes in a little bit each year.
So the next thing is that the Affordable Care Act is already for the first time force insurance companies to justify increases in rates of 10% or more.
That's a little bit about what we were talking about earlier. In other words, they can't jack your rate up past a certain point.
Right. 12.8 million Americans have received a total of $1.1 billion in rebates from insurers that failed to spend at least 80% of their premiums on health care.
You know, I've been throwing out those letters from the insurance company. I think I'm screwing up.
Yeah.
Because if your insurance company fails to put 80% of your premium into actual care, then the government now forces them to give you a rebate.
Right. So. And some people got fairly substantial rebates. Other people got small rebates. But that's what it is. That's government regulation. You can't have medical insurance and then spend 70% of it on executive salaries or something.
It's extended the life of the Medicare Trust Fund to at least 2024 without any other changes.
That's right. And most people don't know that, folks. It hasn't injured Medicare. It's actually extended how long Medicare will last. The preventive services we were talking about earlier are not really calculated into any of the savings because they're not quantifiable. But it may have more savings and more extension of Medicare than we realize, because if people really use this preventive care.
And then finally, of what it's done so far is over the next 10 years, the law will save the average person in Medicare $4,200 over the next 10 years.
So excellent.
It's not a huge amount, but it's $420 bucks a year. I'll take it.
Yeah. First, they couldn't throw kids off of health care because of a pre-existing condition. And now they can't throw adults off because of a precondition.
Yep.
Somebody has to provide you medical care, even if you're seriously sick. Now, I'll say this raises the cost of Medicare, or not Medicare, but medical insurance. And it would if you weren't expanding the number of people paying into the system. But if you increase the universe of the people paying into the system, then the cost of insuring people, besides it's the honorable thing to do, it's dishonorable to take somebody and use these excuses. It's not illegal to use these excuses, which is, you forgot to tell me about X, therefore we can take you off. You can't do this sort of stuff. The game that some insurance companies were paying, where you had something unrelated to whatever your illness was, but if you forgot to tell them that, for example, the famous thing is, if you forgot to tell me you went to a psychologist 10 years ago, they could cut you off. Can't do this stuff to you folks. Can't
all
do
these
this
insurance
anymore.
Companies are still around. By the way, they haven't gone anywhere. It's a long story, but they
don't think they're going to starve to death.
You know, I want to get an announcement in here that Ann Kirkpatrick, a U.S. representative from this district, Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, and Max Richman, CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, the CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, are going to be right here in Sedona on August 21st over at the Sedona Community Center. That's a week from Wednesday. Now the flyer says, "Come share your thoughts and concerns about the issues surrounding Medicare and Social Security." So you got a congresswoman, you got the CEO of a national committee to preserve Social Security and Medicare. So right away we know that he's not a Ryan representative trying to trash Social Security and Medicare.
And it's not a fundraiser. It's a public meeting.
Yeah, those of you who kind of know Ann a little bit, this is not a fundraiser. We love Ann, and she's our great representative, but she likes to hold fundraisers. And but anyway, Sedona Community Center, August 21st, 10:30 a.m. Come and share your concerns about Social Security. Now, they want you to RSVP, a guy named, this is sam.frisbee at mailhouse.gov.
Sam's a gal, not a guy.
Sam is
Samantha.
Samantha.
Samuel.
Is that one of Kirkpatrick's staffers?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sam.
All right.
I'm sure you're.
So I think even if you don't RSVP, you can show up for this thing, folks. In any case, she's genuinely trying to address the problems that we're facing. So what else has happened so far with the four? If you notice, folks, nothing really, the sky has not fallen because of the first few years of affordable care. It's not been the end.
The whole premise of it, you know, to begin with when it was a Republican idea,
yes,
was that it would keep healthcare in the private sector. It would prevent a big government takeover of healthcare. That was the promise when it was presented by Republicans, and when they were pushing the idea back in the 90s and the early 2000s. But now it's considered, the same plan is considered a giant government takeover. But it's not. It's still your insurance company. If you want to keep with your insurance company, you can.
Yes, and your employer can. That's an interesting point, Gary, because the plan bends over backwards. To include insurance companies, which makes it more expensive than if we had single payer and less efficient. It really does. But it's the irony of having gone so far in the Republican direction in terms of reforming health care, and then have Republicans turn on a dime and oppose it and say all the things that they would have said if it was single payer or extension of Medicare to everyone.
I'd like to propose an idea here, just a notion, that one of the reasons it's been repealed, or they've attempted to repeal it 40 times in the Republican House, is that one of the provisions that was put into the Affordable Care Act was that members of Congress could no longer use their premium health insurance plan, that their exchange, which they got $5,000 a year for individual coverage and $11,000 a year for family coverage. And by the way, Congress makes $174,000 a year in salaries plus perks. So it's forcing them to you know, go away from their present cushy insurance plan and have the same insurance go through the same exchanges that the public has to go through.
Okay.
And one other point I think you might find it funny is that there is a recent analysis that the older members of Congress and those who smoke, like John Boehner, could be facing much higher health insurance premiums by going through the same insurance exchange that we have to go through.
So. Okay, Gary has a list of myths about Obamacare or Affordable Care Act. It will use the tax dollars to fund abortions. Just not true. Absolutely not true. It's not something that's arguable. It's something that's false. Obamacare will lead to a government takeover of health care. We've been talking about the whole point of Obamacare and Affordable Care Act is to keep the insurers all involved in the the process. It does limit their ability to skim off profits and not provide insurance for it, which I'm sure it seems like very hurtful to them, some of them. It's not going to raise the cost of health care. It is constitutional.
Exactly.
An individual mandate is constitutional. Remember that one of the things getting lost in this is that there's no requirement for businesses under 50 employees. So if you've got 10 employees, this doesn't actually affect you. Now, that may be a fault, that may be whatever, but your employees, so there's an out that Gary's going to talk about, which is that, so you have a business with 10 employees, and you're not going to provide medical care for them, and this doesn't make you provide medical care for them. Your employees can go on exchanges starting next year and buy insurance where they can see the fine print. And where you can see competitive bids. And so they'll all be laid out and you can decide. And you can also decide the level of plan. So if you're a young guy, you're 21 and you're working, you might want to get the bronze plan, the least insurance cost you can have. If you're older, you might want to pay more and have better insurance. You can have a gold plan. It's not there's a tremendous amount of choice. What Affordable Care Act does is really give you more choice, folks, not less choice. It actually gives your employer more choice, not less choice.
I plugged in, going to the calculator, I plugged in two people in their 60s, and obviously the total cost of health care was huge, $10,000 a year.
It's always you.
But, yeah, well, I'm compared to two people in their 30s, but the cost to the individual was not much more because of the subsidy. That's going to be the big factor, I think.
That's something the story not getting out. Is
individual cost. The big factor is going to be the subsidy and how that's going to, and income, the relationship between income and subsidy.
Right. So when you see these high figures, you have to look at your income and see what level of subsidy you may or may not get. If you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, the taxpayers are not going to subsidize your medical insurance. If you're making a small amount of money, couldn't really afford decent insurance, the government, American taxpayers, will subsidize your insurance.
Let me read from Sarah Cliff's column for a second. Go ahead.
Gary,
go ahead.
One thing I'd like to point out with the subsidies, it sounds like a lot of government waste and a lot of your tax dollars going to subsidize, you know, people that didn't earn it.
But wait a minute, Gary. I mean, if it subsidized medical insurance, isn't that in the long run cheaper than...
Well, I was going to point out, we're already subsidizing it. Anyone who has health insurance is already subsidizing people who don't. Because as we talked about last week, the people who don't have insurance end up going into the emergency room, and we're actually paying more percentage-wise to subsidize them through the emergency room than we are if we just help them buy health insurance.
So it's time to admit, it's time to admit that everybody needs health insurance, that there's different kinds of insurance, maybe appropriate, different periods of your life, different income. Everybody needs it. In the end, this is going to save us all money. It will make our healthcare system, which is the most inefficient and costly in the world, it's got a lot of real strong positive. It will make it more efficient. So let's talk about what's going to be happening next. Because there's this tremendous anxiety, 2014, something's going to happen big with the Affordable Care Act. And people say, well, maybe it's been really good so far, but what about in 2014? What's going to happen? And I think Gary has a list of things that are happening, and these are just basically facts of the changes in coverage. Go ahead, Gary.
A couple of things I'd like to point out is that, you know, you keep hearing how it's going to raise costs. That's a scare tactic. In New York, the CNN Money reported that under Obamacare, insurance premiums in New York will drop by 50%. They're already dropping. For example, they have costs for Albany and in Buffalo. In Albany, the cost dropped from $959 to $300. And in premiums in Buffalo will drop from $1,082 to $280.
My hometown.
And Forbes was talking, they'd written a number of articles about how it was going, you know, we were going to see this huge, rate shock. And so they were building up this notion that was going to cost a whole lot of money. And they actually did a pretty heavy retraction when the figures came out in California, that instead of premiums of $5,200 for a medium cost plan, as predicted by the CBO or the Congressional Budget Office, the average silver plan or medium plan would have a monthly premium of $450. So that's $450 versus $5,200.
Right.
So it's huge cost savings.
Yeah, I know that the healthcare officials in Ohio, with the Republican healthcare officials, said that it's going to increase cost. Yeah, there are tricky ways to measure this, folks. But let's get to what's happening next. All right. In 2014, prohibiting discrimination due to pre-existing conditions or gender. In other words, health insurance companies have been charging women more than men. That's going to stop. They're going to be forced across the line. It started back in 2011 with you couldn't exclude kids. It's now extending to everybody. It eliminates annual limits on insurance company. We were talking about lifetime limits earlier. Now this will eliminate annual limits to your insurance company. Your insurance company can't stop paying you because you've got a serious illness and you're in the hospital for weeks. It'll ensure coverage for individuals participating in clinical trials. People in desperate medical situations often participate in clinical trials because this is their only hope. And we don't like going there, but this is an issue. And what it will prohibit insurers from dropping folks who go into a clinical trial.
Well, be careful of that, because there's a lot of cool medical trials around that aren't a desperate situation. They're just an interesting new heart drug that may help.
Yes, and so you're covered if you agree to do that. So if you have a serious illness, say heart, if you participate in a clinical trial of a new drug, they have to continue. Again, this is not going to affect everybody, but it'll affect some people very significantly. A lot of the healthcare bill affects everybody a little bit, but it affects certain individuals a lot. So if you have a serious illness, it's going to affect you a lot. If you don't, it's going to affect you some.
And if you're part of the working poor, which is an increasing percentage of our population, and you can't afford health coverage, health insurance, it gives you an opportunity to get insurance.
That's it.
It establishes, this is what Mike was talking about earlier, tax credits for middle class folks connected with healthcare. And it's, I won't read you all the data, but I mean, it's a pretty good help for your healthcare costs. And that's coming in 2014. Now, the most complicated thing, and maybe Gary will talk about it, is it establishes a health insurance marketplace.
But before he does that, we have a couple announcements because we only have a few minutes left. I want to talk about the September 2nd show. We have the gay pride people coming in, and we're gonna have some discussions about all the changes in that. And
they're gonna go through a history of gay equal rights struggle.
We have some local school superintendents coming in and some local school board members on probably September 30th. Don't write that down. But we're going to talk about education. In Arizona, you now finally have John Hoopenthal, after all these years, he's the state superintendent of instruction in Arizona, finally asking for more money in education.
All right.
I'd like to make an announcement of Democrats of the Verde Valley. One of our sponsors has got a meeting coming up on the 22nd at 6:30 at Randall's, and the speaker will be the candidate for State Attorney General Felicia Rodellini.
Yeah, so we really won't have time to discuss the health insurance marketplace. The health insurance marketplace, folks, affects you if your employer does not have insurance for you. And you'll be able to go on a marketplace. You'll be able to see a huge menu of different kinds of plans, different costs. Nothing will be able to hit. There won't be any hidden. There won't even be any small print. And you'll be able to bid on health insurance. It will increase your choice. It will increase the visibility of health insurance that you can buy on your own. And if your income is such, it will be subsidized in part.
And we already have experience. One thing that gets lost is that there is a plan out there like Obamacare that has taken place in Massachusetts. It's been there since Romney instituted it, signed it into law, and it's very popular in Massachusetts.
It's done no terrible damage to Massachusetts. I would not worry about this. Go ahead, Mike.
Our other great sponsor, Democrats of the Red Rocks, that helps us out on this show, is having quite an event that you're going to tell us about there.
Democrats of the Red Rocks. Been around 10 years, is having a big celebration, a lunch at the Heartline Cafe. You can find this all on the Democrats of the Red Rock website, and that's Democrats of the Red Rock, all writ out as well, kind of a long address, .org. That'll be taking place August 25th. There's very little room left in the restaurant. It's a brunch. You'll get to meet eight of the original founders of DOOR. DOOR's gone from a small organization of about a dozen women into an organization with hundreds of people.
And part of the conversation is going to be women in politics, I think.
Women in politics.
Yeah,
I think
that's going to be a good lunch.
And we hope to have them in for a show right after the DOOR breakfast. Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.